Good morning, everyone. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you on this Valentine's Day week, Father. We thank you for the love that you show to each and every one of us in our families, Father. And we pray that that everything we do, that you, not only you, but everyone sees our love and our actions that we do, Lord, and we pray that our faith is evident as well in everything we do. And we pray this morning, Lord, that you bless all those coming and going today, Father God, and that you just continue to fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, each and every day. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, my sermon title today is Faith in Action. Amen? And I'm not going to argue with Martin Luther, but we're going to box a little bit today, okay? Now, the book of James has been the focus of much controversy in the New Testament since it was written due to its focus on the Old Testament and good works. And especially in today's text that we're covering about faith and deeds. So I got a picture. There it is. So there's Martin Luther on the left talking about James, okay? And then, you know, he thought that it contradicted Paul's statements about justification by faith, okay? So he also said that it didn't directly mention Jesus Christ. And but the truth is that it did mention Jesus Christ. He does mention Jesus Christ twice by name. And he had made it many other references to Jesus Christ as well. So after all this, you know, James was Jesus' brother, amen. So, you know, we gotta give him some props for that, right? And about Luther wanting to remove James from the New Testament or from the Bible, I should say, he wanted to remove James and Hebrew and Jude, but he was unable to do that when he was rewriting the Bible, or he was translating the Bible into German. But so he attempted to have it removed, but they wouldn't allow him to. So what he did was he removed it. He had it removed from some of the schools and some of the teaching. And I don't think that Martin Luther was wrong about his definition of the book. I think he was just worried that other people might misconstrue what James was saying. You know, that other people might misconstrue it because remember he was at odds with the Catholic Church, right? He was at odds with the Catholic Church and they proclaimed salvation by works through the selling of indulgences. Remember that? So they were selling the indulgence, and that was the whole reason for Martin Luther and the whole Reformation was because of the Catholic Church. Amen. So at this point, James was trying to make the point. James was trying to make was to be doers of the word, not to be saved by works. So he wasn't trying to say that we're saved by the things we do or we're saved by our actions. He's trying to say that our faith should be evident in what we say and what we do. Amen? So the theme of this book and the theme of today's text is to be doers of the word, but not just hearers, but doers of the word. To be doers of the word. To show our faith in action. So our first verse, 14 says, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them?" So James is saying that if we are to be doers of the word, our faith should be noticeable by our good works. Our faith should be noticeable. People should see the good fruit that we're producing. Amen? Amen. So that's evidence. That's the evidence of faith, our fruit. So if faith is real, next slide. If faith is real, right? It should be lived out in what we do. And through our actions, through our words, through how we treat people, people should see the evidence of our goodness through our actions and through everything we say and do. here's evidence of that right there. Amen. This is some of our ministries out there serving the homeless and praying for the homeless, and that's what we're called to do. That's the evidence of our faith. The point here is that if our faith is not evidence in our actions, then maybe it's not real. If our faith isn't evidence in what we do and say, maybe it's not real. Romans 6:2 said that, how shall we who died to sin still live in sin? How can we who died to sin still live in sin? If we claim to be a child of God and continue to purposely live in sin, maybe it's not real. Can someone be saved without the renewing of their works, without the renewing of their minds? I wouldn't bet on it. Amen? If someone is saved, they should be... If someone is being sanctified and saved, they should be continuing to work on themselves. An old Scotsman... I got a story for you. An old Scotsman operated a little rowboat for transporting passengers. And one day, one of the passengers noticed that the good old man had carved on one of the oars, he carved faith on it. And on the other oar, he carved works. And curiosity led to the asking the meaning of this. And the old man, being a well-balanced Christian and glad of the opportunity for testimony, told him, "I will show you." So saying that, he dropped one oar and he started plying the oar saying faith. And the boat's going around in one circle, right? It's not going anywhere, just going around in a circle. And then he dropped that oar and he picked up the other oar that said works. And he starts plying that oar, right? And he's going in the other circle, going the other way. So after this demonstration, the old man picked up both faith and works, right? And plying both oars, he started going swiftly over the water. Amen? So he explained to his passengers, he said, "You see that it is the way it is with Christian life is the same thing. If we dead works without faith is useless. Dead works without faith are useless. And faith without works is dead as well, right? So if we just have all of our faith and we don't show that love to others, and we don't act on that, then it's useless." Amen. That's what James was saying, and that's what this story was saying. But faith and works together bring many blessings as well, right? Faith and works can bring us and others so many blessings in our lives. But James is not saying here that that good works are necessary to be saved. That's not what he was saying. Just that they are the evidence of our salvation. They are the evidence. So what sets Christianity apart from all other faith-based belief systems in the world is that we believe in salvation by grace through our faith. Salvation by grace through our faith. And some evidence of that. Titus 3:5 says, "He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit." So in Christ alone, amen? In Christ alone we are saved. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, "For it is by grace we have been saved through faith. And this is not from ourselves, it is a gift from God, not by works, so that none may boast." It's a gift from God, not by works. So the point here is that no matter what we do, how we serve, what we give, we can add nothing to our salvation by our actions. We can add nothing to our salvation by our actions. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Him, no matter how many works they do or how many indulgences they buy. Amen? We believe that everything needed to save us from our sins was completed on the cross. Everything we needed was completed on the cross. Jesus said it Himself, right? He said, "It is finished." It is finished. There it is. Love that picture. So now that we're saved, now that our faith has been changed and our heart has been changed, we need to be changing by the renewing of our minds. Amen. And we use that a lot in our recovery. We talk about the renewing of our minds. And We should see others whom Christ lived and died for as more valuable than anything that we own, any of our belongings, all this stuff that's one day going to fade away. We should see others that God loves more than any of those things. Any of those things. God's people should come first in our lives. Amen? We should be caring for others, loving others, because if we don't do it as Christians, who else is going to do it? Amen? James, okay, the next verses say, 15 through 17, say, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself is not accompanied by action is dead. So either way, here James is addressing the real issue, and that is that there are people in his church and others in the area that are thinking, all I have to do is believe in God, trust in Him, and that I don't have to do anything else for anybody else. That's all I got to do. Just believe and think that things are okay and I'm good. Right? Totally wrong, right? If our faith is not accompanied by action, then we got to question if it's real. Amen? If we're just sitting there doing nothing for anybody else but ourselves, that's not what Christ would do. Amen? If there's no change in our lives when we step into faith, then our faith may be dead, or even worse, our faith may be in something completely different. Our faith may be in something else. Maybe even in ourselves. Real faith is grounded in what Jesus did on the cross, and real faith is grounded on an empty tomb. Amen? That's where our real faith should be grounded. Real faith will naturally be expressed in repentance and good works. They will know that we are Christians by our love and by our works. Amen. So these verses say that if there's a brother or sister in need and we only offer lip service with no assistance for their physical needs, what good is it? What good is it if we just say, go, you are blessed, or I will pray for you, and then we send the guy away hungry or homeless? Amen. We have to act on that. And what good is it to hear the testimony or cries of a homeless person and not offer them clothes, not offer them food, not offer them assistance programs? These are the actions that a true Christian should take. Verse 17 says that faith not accompanied by action is dead. So remember the parable of the wise and foolish builders in Matthew. Matthew 7 said, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Is your faith built on sand, or is it built on a firm foundation, right? Put the Lord's words into practice every day, or someday our worlds may end in a great crash as well. Amen? We got to live in God's Word. 1 John 2, verses 4 through 6. It says, whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in them. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. So this text is not just James giving his thoughts, or John giving his thoughts. Or our text today is not just James giving his thoughts. There are many instances in the Bible like this where the authors are speaking about works being the validation of their faith. Many instances in the Bible. And we'll be going through a bunch of those here in the sermon. But you see, it's not enough just to go to church and go to Bible study and say, I'm a Christian, right? That's not enough. We have to live the lifestyle. We have to live the life. This is about a relationship with God that is all-encompassing in everything we do. It's all-encompassing. It should have a changing effect in all you do, all you say, even everything we think about. Amen? And that's the renewing of our mind. Everything that we think about, whether we're at church, at work, or watching the Super Bowl. Amen? It doesn't matter. Amen? We should still have Christ at the forefront. Amen? In Tres Dias and Curcio, which are 3-day weekends that we participate in the church, we call it living our fourth day. We call it living our fourth day. And that's what that is that's the rest of our lives after the resurrection of our faith. So when we go through these weekends, we reconnect with God, for those of us who weren't connected, or we grow in our relationship. And we call it the fourth day because from that day on, and it's a reference, it's modeled after Jesus rising. Amen? From the grave, okay? So we call it the fourth day. So what it means is that our lives should be changed. Our lives should be changed and we should continue to grow. And the fourth day is the rest of our lives until we're called to be with Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the fourth day. So 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, and the new is here. The old is gone. Our new lives should be reflected in the way we treat others, the things we say, and the things we do. Our old ways of selfishness and pride should be traded in for generosity and humbleness. The exact opposite of selfishness and pride. And I really love how Paul describes deeds of faith. I really love this. In Romans 12, Paul says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. If we really put our faith in Jesus Christ, then we will sacrifice our sacrifice for others. We'll sacrifice our time, our talents, our treasure. What would Jesus do? We would sacrifice everything for others. Amen? That's true love. That is sanctification. The next verse says, but someone will say, you have faith and I got deeds. Right? You got faith, but I got deeds. James says, show me your faith without deeds and I will show you my faith by my deeds. Amen? My faith by my deeds. He says, you believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. So James is saying that, I know some of you won't agree with me. We all have our differences. You may have faith and I have works. Right? But some say that the works are not their gift of the Spirit. Some say that works are not their gift of the Spirit. But James is not going to condone that kind of thinking. James is saying that's crazy talk, that works are not part of your faith. It's not like we have some Christian. We got the faith Christians over here, right? And then we got the works Christians over here, right? No, that's not how it is. All Christians should have a living faith, evident in a life of good works. All Christians should be doing good works. Amen. Charles Spurgeon said. I like this. He said, the grace that does not change my life will not save my soul. The grace that doesn't change our life is not going to save our soul. Faith is not only believing in something you can't see. Faith is something you can't see without the action of good works. Faith is something you can't see without good works. And verse 19 is an example of someone's faith without works, okay? It says, so here James is writing, he's writing to a predominantly Jewish community that had converted to Christianity, okay? And so they had always been polytheists. They had always worshipped one God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So he's saying, you believe, but so does every demon in hell. He's saying, what good is it just to believe, is what he's saying. You all acknowledge that God exists, and that God is one, but that kind of faith does nothing for the demons or anyone without good works. Just because we acknowledge that God is God, that's not enough. Amen? Even the demons do that. So at this point, James knows they're going to want or expect an example. They're going to want an example of this principle from the Scriptures. So in the final verse of today's text, or the final verses of today's text, James gives us two examples of faith that has works in the stories of Abraham and Rahab. Amen? And he then states one more time that faith without deeds is dead. So let's go through that. Verse 20, he says, "You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar?" You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled. It says, "Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend." You see that person, that you see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. And in the last verse it says, "In the same way was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." So, we got, what an amazing contrast we have, right? We got Abraham, the patriarch, and we got Rahab, the prostitute. Amen? And so some of the differences between Abraham and Rahab is, okay, man and woman, of course, right? Jew and Canaanite, right? One, Abraham heard from God, and Rahab heard about God. Abraham was a man of faith. She was a prostitute. Abraham was the father of a Jewish nation. And believe it or not, Rahab, if you don't know already, was in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Amen? So she was related, right? We're all related, but she was in the lineage, okay? So the other amazing thing that they had in common was they had a belief and they had a trust in God that resulted in salvation and a changed life. Their beliefs resulted, no matter where they came from and what they were doing, it resulted in a changed life. Now, why did James use these two extremes? Why did he go from one extreme to the other? The whole spectrum, right? That all of us are somewhere in between that, right? Most of us are somewhere in between. Maybe some of us are a little worse, but or a little better. But most of us, almost all of us, are somewhere in between Rahab and Abraham. Amen? And I believe it's because of that. And, you know, through this little church and through the ministry of Celebrate Recovery and the House of Grace, we have seen many, many lives restored by the grace of God. Amen? We've seen many lives restored in this church. And but we all must trust God in order to be saved. We all have to trust God in order to be saved, no matter what we've came from or where we've been. So let's first look at Abraham in verse 21. It says, or who offered up his son, okay? He offered up his son, and it says, "Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar?" So all the way back in Genesis 22, God was speaking to Abraham and said, "Offer up your son as a sacrifice upon the altar on the mountain." Amen. And there it is. It's on the altar. And so we can imagine how difficult it would have been for Abraham, or for anyone for that matter, to offer up our own child as a sacrifice, right? But Abraham's faith permits him to obey God despite the consequences. He's going to obey God at all costs, even at the cost of his child. And because Abraham believed that God could raise his son from the dead. Even if he sacrificed him, Abraham's like, well, I know he can raise him from the dead. That's how much faith he had. He was okay with that, right? He was okay. He was going to do what the Lord wanted him to do. And now watch this. Mount Moriah, which was the name of the mountain where he sacrificed, where he was going to sacrifice his son, was the same mountain that Calvary was on. Amen? The same mountain that Jesus was crucified on is the mountain that Abraham was going to sacrifice his son on. Amen? Isn't that amazing? Right? And most, I didn't even know that until I got in my studies. I'm like, really? So yeah, they were on the same Calvary, and the sacrifice of Isaac were on the same mountain. So this is not a fairy tale, people. This is not a fairy tale. This is amazing grace. This is amazing grace. Jesus was crucified on the same mountain. So Abraham wakes up in the morning, and he takes his only son up on the mountain with the intentions to sacrifice him on the altar. And God knew all along that he was not going to allow Abraham to actually do it. But he was testing Abraham's faith to see if he really loved him above everything else. Even his child. So put God first. Amen. Basically is what he was saying. Is he going to put God first? Now how many of us do you think could have followed through with this request? How many of us could have went and sacrificed or acted as if we were going to sacrifice our son on a mountain? Amen. I believe most of us, if not all of us, would have resisted. I'm pretty sure all of us would have resisted or argued with God, right? Like, what are you saying? What are you talking about? You know, that's a very difficult request. The point is, if we really are Christians, it should result in our obedience to God. That's the point. We should be obedient to God unto anything. If we really want God's will to be done, we will follow God's will no matter the cost. No matter the cost. We should look at the world with kingdom eyes. That's what we always say, right? With kingdom eyes. And that's what this is talking about. That which is eternal should be our daily focus. What is eternal should be our daily focus. Now even though Paul says in Romans 3 that Abraham is an example of salvation by faith, he also says that it was manifested among men when he offered Isaac upon the altar. It was manifested among men. So this act was not only the demonstration of faith, but it was the vindication of his faith. It was the vindication of his faith. And faith in action. Amen? Faith in action. So verse 22 says that his faith was made complete by what he did. His faith was made complete by what he did. The evidence, let's talk about the evidence. The evidence of a fruit tree is the fruit that it produces, right? The evidence that it's a fruit tree is the fruit that it produces. So, well, let me tell you, do we have a lemon tree at my house? Amen. When we moved into our house, this tree was about this tall, 2 feet tall, and I didn't know what it was, okay? And it was about 2 feet tall, but today it stands about 10 feet tall, because my wife won't let me cut anymore. About 10 feet tall, and that thing produces like at least 300 lemons a year. Right? So it's this huge tree, produces all these lemons, amen? And then just last year I bought this little cutie tree, like cutie oranges, like the little cutie oranges, tangerines, whatever they are, mini orange tree, okay? Now this cutie tree is still growing. I bought it right at the beginning of winter, okay? So it stopped growing, like, it got about this high and it stopped growing. So if you were to come over to my house and see this tree, you wouldn't know what it is. You couldn't tell by looking at it that it's a cutie tree because all it has is leaves on it. Amen? And I don't think most of us wouldn't be able to tell what it was, but you know, it's the same thing for us as Christians. If we don't produce the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, no one can tell that we're Christians by looking at us if they don't see the fruit in our lives. If they don't see the fruit produced by our actions, by our words, and by the things we say, how are they going to know that we're even Christians? Amen? They will know we are Christians by our love and by our works. And works are the evidence and the fruit of our faithfulness to God. Works are the evidence of our faithfulness to God. Abraham's faith was made complete in what he did on that mountain. Verse 23 says that Scripture was fulfilled because Abraham believed God and obeyed him which was credited to him as righteousness. Amen? So because he believed God, and because of what he did, it was credited to him as righteousness. verse 24 says, you see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. So you see, he's not contradicting Paul, but he's saying that our works vindicate our faith, which has already saved us. Our works are just vindicating the faith, which has already saved us. And then he starts to talk about Rahab in verse 25. He says, in the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? And the answer to this rhetorical question is yes. Amen? The answer is yes. Rahab, by her faith, had hid the spies and sent them off in a different direction. And this is from Joshua 2 in the Old Testament. Amen? Which is our next study on Wednesday nights. It's going to be Joshua. Amen? So we'll be talking about that. And so what happens is these men, they're going into the land of Canaan, they're spying to spy, okay? So they come to Rahab, the prostitute's house, for lodging. I don't know why they went to the prostitute's house for lodging, but they did. Amen? So Rahab could tell that these men were different, though. All right, when she saw them, she knew they were different. They were not her regular customers, okay? They weren't there for her regular services. Rahab knew that she could tell they were Israelis, and she had heard about their God and all the miracles that he had been doing. Amen? So, she also said, we are afraid and know we will suffer under the judgment of God. So she knew because of all these things she heard about God, they were afraid that they were going to be judged and that they were going to suffer. So she said, we know we've done wrong in your God's eyes. Amen? So she's telling them, we know we've done wrong in your God's eyes. So she takes the spies and she hides them in her home because she knew that the soldiers might come looking for them. So she's hiding the spies. And when the soldiers came, she told them that they were there, but they left. And she pointed them in the wrong direction. Right? She points them in the wrong direction. And then she goes up on the roof and she tells where they were hiding. She tells them to go in another direction. So she sends them both off in different directions. Amen? But she also said, when your soldiers come back, she tells the spies, when your soldiers come back to destroy the city, remember me and my family. Remember me and my family. So she had faith, and she acted on it by her works, right? And she was thinking about her family the whole time, though. Amen? She's thinking about her family. So they told her to hang a scarlet red cord out the window so when the soldiers arrived, they would take her alive and they wouldn't kill her along with everyone else. And so Rahab was moved. She was moved by and acted on her faith. Her faith in their God. Amen? And the faith she had, she put her faith into action by hiding the spies from her own people. She's hiding the spies from her own people. And then dropping the cord out the window, you know, that was all her faith. That was all her faith in God, and that was all her faith in what she was doing. So what was the reward of her faith? Just like Christians, her reward was that her family would be saved. Amen? The reward was that her family was going to be saved. And it's the same for all of us. It's the same for all of us. When we sacrifice, we know that our families will be saved. She would become a citizen of the nation of Israel. Okay? And now when you read the lineage of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1, guess who's in the lineage of Jesus? Rahab, right? Rahab's in the lineage, and so is Bathsheba. They're both in the lineage of Jesus Christ. And so that's amazing too. You know, it really is. This is not a fairy tale, okay? So it doesn't matter what nationality we are, what we've done or what we haven't done, we're all sinners who need to be saved by God's grace. No matter what we've done, we're all sinners. And finally, in our last verse, it says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. This is the biblical definition of death. Or some may say the second death, right? We call it, some call it the second death. We are all going to die, and when we die, our spirit's going to leave our bodies. Our spirit is going to leave our bodies. So where is our spirit going to go? Is it going to go to heaven? Or is it going to go to hell? Dependent on our faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? It's going to go one or the other. So while we're still alive, we should all be living out our faith in action towards everyone we encounter and everything that we do. Because once the spirit leaves the body, it's too late. Amen? Once the spirit leaves the body, it's going to be too late. Faith in action. Love God, love people, and live like Jesus. So does your life show evidence of your faith? Is there evidence of faith in everything you do and some of the things you do? And a couple things you do? Amen? If you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, it should be evident by your faith in action. It should be evident. That's it. Faith in action. Alright, God's peace be with you all, and may you all be blessed to be a blessing in every action you do. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the faith that we have in you and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we just pray that you continue to go before us as we act out our faith, showing love and peace and grace towards others. And we thank you for the love, peace, and grace you show each and every one of us, Father. Thank you for your amazing word this morning. And we praise you, Lord. We praise you for every opportunity to be out there acting in faith. Every opportunity to serve you and every opportunity to receive the joy that comes along with it. Lord, may you bless this week. May you bless each and every one of us here and bless all those who are struggling with sickness, pain, and suffering, Father God. And know that we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.